gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Eric Massa, Democrat of the great state of New York, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline to talk about the latest in health care. David Schuster, our buddy, our pal from MSNBC. Oh, Mama will be on the Ed Show tomorrow, by the way. Tomorrow.
That's right.
Coming up later this hour to talk about Iran and health care reform, Jennifer Palmieri, Senior VP for Communications at the Center for American Progress. Also on the Celebrity Hotline, and lead Al Franken attorney Mark Elias in hour number three. Wow. Now that's a show.
The show's going to explode today.
So talk about what the in the Coleman-Franken race.
Yes.
And why we have no news yet. Meanwhile, obviously the situation in Iran growing worse and worse. The president...
I'm very concerned based on some of the tenor of and tone of the statements that have been made that... The government of Iran recognize that the world is watching.
The world is watching.
You saw some horrifying video. I've been traveling over the weekend, but you saw...
It's a woman named Neda who was just standing there, on the periphery of the protests with her father, and some snipers shot and killed her, and it's all on video. And father leaning over her, pleading with her to keep her eyes open and don't go to sleep.
All right. Yeah. The health care debate heating up as well. Representative Henry Waxman, a Democrat of the great state of California.
I think there's a lot of misinformation about the idea of a public option. Some people think it's going to be a government takeover of health care, a single-payer system. That's not what we intend. We want to give people a chance to choose.
And my question would be, why not? Why not a single payer? Did you see the latest poll? 76% of the American public want a public option. And we'll find out what's gumming up the works in health care.
Did you see who's against the public option?
Who's that?
Our buddy, our pal, Senator Kent Conrad of North Dakota.
How much money did he get from the insurance companies, I wonder?
Usually he's good.
Yes, I know. Yes, it's a... all right.
Yeah, but it works very well in places like Germany, France, and Switzerland, where they have the option to have private insurance if they want, but the public option works very well.
Yeah, I don't... There is a huge disconnect going on right now with healthcare. When you look at the polls, you go around, to town halls, whatever. I mean, and the president's town hall is coming up, Wednesday? And I imagine we're going to hear a lot of the same from just normal people out there in the disconnect between what they want and what Congress wants or whatever. All right. Mama was in North Carolina visiting her Republican relatives in 100% humidity.
Yeah, it gets nasty down there.
Delightful in North Carolina. Delightful.
Charlotte is a beautiful city, though.
It is indeed. It is indeed. It was grand to see my family. Julie writes, Staff, you're made of sterner stuff than I am. After a week like last week, 4 hours on Screaming Toddler Airlines Flight 666 to face off with your Republican family in Crackerland in the summer.
Oh, stop it.
Where every day is a bad hair day. Have you killed anyone yet? No.
Compete says no.
No, it was all fine, Julie. But thank you for asking.
That's why there's air conditioning.
We've learned now. We just even like vaguely get into politics, and we go, oh, okay, let's get right off that subject and into something different entirely now.
But what topics are there that aren't related to politics?
Let's see, that. Well, that's why
sports,
it was
the humidity.
It was a quiet. Yeah. Ooh, it sure is humid, isn't it?
Wow, hot enough for you.
All right. My sister and I, it's hilarious. We can, because she's an Obama mama too, so we can only talk on the way to, in the car on the way to the airport. That's when we're safe. And we were just saying, I've said this before, too, that even if you disagree with some of the ways Obama's going about things, and we do, we talk about it on this show, what's hard to debate is they just ascribe every horrible, evil motive to him on the right.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really think he wants to own car companies and he's had a socialist plot since he was five? It's hard to even have a conversation when, the starting point is, oh, he must be evil or...
whatever.
But we all know that he's
something.
Not evil.
Oh, I have a fabulous story, by the way. I forgot. Could you take out your organ for me, please, Chris?
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, this is a how you know you're in the Deep South gym. So my brother took me to his gym.
You know what? North Carolina is not the Deep South.
Whatever. Okay.
That's Alabama and Mississippi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to tell you this story, right, though. So in my stall, in the ladies' restroom in my stall, there's an advertisement for a church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Yeah, but there's a picture of a Muslim-looking gentleman. And I swear to you, the thing says, his name is Alak Pakpak. He's from Kuwait. He was raised in a Muslim, whatever. But then he had a supernatural experience and discovered Jesus Christ. Now he's married to Ashley or whatever. And then it's an advertisement for a church. As if, you know, the implication would be, we could get the Muslim off you, too, if you want. Now he's normal.
Mm-hmm.
See, he used to be a Muslim, and now he found Jesus Christ, and now he's married to someone normal named Ashley.
Church is very important to people in the South.
Mm-hmm. I'll remember I wrote it down somewhere. There's a website. I'm going to go to the website and see how you... It's probably... There's instructions on how to get the Muslim...
Get the Muslim off you?
Off you.
And the gay.
And make you normal, so you can marry someone named Ashley.
Mm.
And live in North Carolina.
Very white-sounding named Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought I had to read it several times. I was like, are they really implying that he was something bad until he found, and then now he's not the Muslim anymore? And so,
yeah.
Yes, that's what that was. That was an advertisement. Okay.
Because all Muslims are terrorists, according to those people.
I think that was the implication, Jim. It was subtle, but I think that was the implication.
Sure.
All right, let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story. You know, when you see a headline that says Schwarzenegger's testicle sculpture a flop.
What?
One needs to read more.
Why did he have a testicle sculpture?
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who has warned lawmakers out here in California that they need to act boldly and make some tough budget choices, sent President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg a metal sculpture of bull testicles. It was intended as a gag gift. Get it?
Yeah, let me gaggle right
now. But Steinberg, a Democrat, was not amused and returned the football-sized gift with a terse note about the seriousness of the ongoing negotiations. Schwarzenegger's gift was in response to an earlier gag gift he had received from Steinberg, a package of mushrooms, after the governor called the Democrats' budget proposals, which included tax increases, hallucinatory. So, see, he sent back the bull, and then that guy, okay, we have the governor.
Dear Senator Steinberg, I apologize for sending you the bull testicles. I never meant to imply that you yourself have no testicles. I merely meant to imply that you are a wimpy little girly man who, when his dominatrix wife says, chump, you ask how high, just before she attaches the C-clamp to your scrotum and threatens to crush your little girly ovaries. Sincerely, the governor.
Dear Governor Schwarzenhitler. No offense taken. I do hope you were not offended when I sent those mushrooms in response to your hallucinatory notions of fixing the economy without raising taxes. In no way I meant to imply that you were ever under the influence of any banned substances, including steroids, HGH, or powdered tiger nads. I'm sure you acquired your mutant physique through diet and exercise alone. Bullcrap! Sincerely, Senator Steinberg.
Dear Senator... Oh, should be a bleep there. Back, which means mountain of... in German. I hope you didn't take offense at the gift of cocktail weenies I sent you. I know I intended to imply that you have a tiny inadequate schwanz to complement your tiny coin purse of girly ovaries where a Hodensack should be. Even if I did, we should let bygones be bygones and things of this nature when we have a budget shortfall of $24.3 billion in California and these kinds of things. This, of course, is nothing compared to the shortfall you have when you drop your trousers and try to satisfy your wife. But you're right. We have more important things on the plate than to argue about your sexual inadequacy and these kinds of things. More importantly, how am I going to get away from Maria long enough to service your long-suffering wife and squeeze her boobies and things of this nature? Ah, Maria, was machst du denn hier? Went to Crawley. With my femur.
Oh, dear.
And finally, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had successful surgery Friday to repair her broken right elbow, but decisions on resuming her full schedule and travel may take several days. Her doctors at George Washington University Hospital have advised her they expect her to make a full recovery without lasting damage to her arm. So once again, she will be wielding the... Yes. Thank you. All right. I believe this leads to another episode of one of our favorite shows.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and Sean Hannity and Ann Coulter, too, the producers of Beck, the one-note musical, and the makers of Boner Bronze, the tanning solution that will bring you to tears, are pleased to present the latest installment of Pantsuit and Jug Ears. Tonight's episode, Take That Wheat Somewhere Else, Sucker. Hillary. I'm so sorry you broke your elbow. Yeah, it always makes me sad when a friendly pickup game goes sour and someone gets hurt. But you have to admit, you asked for it. You see, it's my court, and I'll drive the lane if I want to. That's just the way it is, and you better get used to it.
Don't hand me that crap, Barack. I told you when he offered me this job that down in the paint is mine. You can drain them from downtown all day long, but try to get close to the bucket and you'll feel the wrath of me. Just keep a lid on all the North Korean-Iran remarks, right? Maybe I broke my elbow throwing it at your head. My God, is that made of concrete? But I noticed that goose egg rising up from your noggin, and he walked away a little cross-eyed. Just dig this, hotshot elbows aren't my only skill down low. Submarining, hip-checking, hacking, you name it, I'll do it. You feel me?
Bring it on, biatch. I'll knock you on your can. On your can. On your can.
Suit up, chump. Down to the paint is where men are made. And women, too.
Will Barack dominate? Will Hillary tear him a new ACL? Tune in next week for the next installment of Pantsuit and Jug Ears.
Not in the paint. No. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward, call the roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True and buy the downloadable album for just $9.99. Just go to the tile ad there at stephaniemiller.com.
Boy, howdy. Well, you know, the healthcare debate, as I mentioned, heating up. If only there was somebody that knows a little something. Yes,
hey,
Jim!
From the great state of New York, it's Representative Eric Massock.
What are the chances of that? Good morning, Congressman.
Well, good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm just fine. I want to know if everyone's broken elbow would be covered under your new health care plan that we're hoping.
well, if we get single-payer health care, it absolutely will be.
Congressman, I have to tell you, I applaud you. I saw you on Ed Schultz, and you have given up your own health care, haven't you, your government plan?
I do not accept the Congressional Health Care Benefits Plan. I campaigned on that and said I would not take it until all Americans had health insurance. And I know of some friends of mine heard your show the other day, and they said, well, that's probably because he's just some rich guy. I wish I was. I'm a retired naval officer who has a DAV, a Disabled American Veterans Rating. I get my health care through a combination of the VA and Medicare, basically,
right,
like millions of other Americans. And I think that no member of Congress should give themselves anything that the American people can't get hold of.
Wow. Now, a politician putting their money where their mouth is. That is brand new. I mean, I have to tell you, Congressman, I hear that all the time on the phones. Is people are sick of hearing particularly Republicans say, you can't have a public plan, you can't have a public plan, while they're on one that seems to be working well for them.
Every member of Congress is on a public plan. In fact, they're on a gold-studded, diamond-encrusted tiara of a public plan. And so you can imagine that this interview is not going to make me a lot of friends inside of Congress.
Well,
I'm already one of the most targeted members of Congress because I believe in the single-payer option.
Well, here's the thing. I as many times as I ask this, Congressman Massa, I don't understand the answer. We were just saying this morning, I think it's the latest poll I'm sure you've seen, 76% of Americans want a public option. What is the disconnect between Congress and the public right now?
Oh, it's called campaign finance. The disconnect is the fact that these HMOs, whether it's Humana, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, you name it, are going to pump and are pumping hundreds of millions of dollars into the campaigns of the members of Congress who will maintain the status quo, and hundreds of millions of dollars into candidates who will stand up and take out people like me. I mean, I hate to say it, but our system is based on finance. And those members of Congress who can raise money to defend themselves will win. Those members of Congress who can't will lose. And since I don't go to insurance companies and say, can you give me hundreds of thousands of dollars,
yep,
it puts me, in my opinion, at great risk.
I have to tell you, Congressman, your first answer has me winded. I need to take a break, and then we'll come back and get into the meat of this, all right? Can you hang on?
Okay, sure.
All right.
I'll hang on.
All right.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm deflated.
Oh.
All right, 20 minutes. 20 minutes after the hour.
That's what I've been telling you.
Exactly. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, right back with Congressman Eric Massa, who has given up his public plan, fellow Congress critters. We will talk to him about that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You know, anyone that's anyone has, seems to have some opinion on health care reform, but not many of them have a golden stethoscope award from health care reform advocates. Congressman Eric Massa does. Good morning again, Congressman.
Good morning, and thank you for I didn't express my appreciation for being able to say good morning to you.
We're thrilled to have you. When I saw you on Ed Schultz, I thought, did I hear that right? Did he say he gave up his fancy government plan until we all have one? And I just think that really is an amazing thing. Has anyone else joined you in Congress or no?
Not yet. Maybe we'll start a movement. And frankly, what it does, it has made me one of the most targeted members of Congress. I have been a single-payer advocate ever since I was on active duty in the military, which, by the way, is the largest single-payer health provider in the world.
Thank you.
The Department of Defense is a single-payer health provider, and it's largely seen as being one of the best medical systems anywhere on the mm-hmm. face of the planet.
Well, you worked with our friend. You worked under General Wesley Clark, and the other fun fact that I love about you is you were a Republican until you split with your party on Iraq. Correct?
That's correct.
So you're used to standing up against what's popular in your party.
Well, yes, and in fact, I had to kind of do that again. Just last week, I voted with a small number of Democrats who voted to not continue to fund the war in Iraq until we had a full ongoing strategy to bring our troops home. You know, I stand with President Obama when and where I can, but where I have differences with him, I'm not going to change my vote just because mm-hmm. we've changed the leadership in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Massa, I'm so sorry. We're running short on time, and I really want to get to your take, since you're so at the center of this, is what's going to happen with this health care debate. I know the president's town hall is coming up Wednesday. Are we going to get meaningful health care reform with a public option?
If we don't have a meaningful public option, we won't get health care reform. And that is what I think everyone in the decision-making process needs to understand. The public demands access to Medicare for all. It's not socialist health care. It's not communist health care. It is exactly what we have for everyone in this country, age 62 and over, and it works. And so until such time we realize that for-profit HMOs are at the center of the problem and cannot solve it, we're going to continue to make the problem worse.
Congressman, please keep fighting the good fight for us, and please take time to come back again. We wish you had you on longer.
Whenever invited, I'm actually off right now to a cancer summit in my congressional district. We've gathered 100 physicians and advocates to talk about that, and as a cancer
Terrific.
Survivor, it's something very important to me.
Yep.
Thank you, sir. We're out of time. David Schuster is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You complete me. You know that? You just make me want to be a gayer man.
My life story. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, obviously, the situation in Iran is getting worse by the hour. If only there were somebody, a newsman, in the middle of the thick of everything. In the thick of everything, that could. If only the phone would work.
There you go.
Why? Who is it, Jim?
It's MSNBC's Dayside anchor and regular substitute for Keith Olbermann. Excuse me, David Schuster. God, it's a bad time to get a hairball.
David, I believe that makes you my substitute future husband. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
You too. Well, boy, it's hard to tell from over here, but doesn't it seem like this is getting worse and worse? I mean, the video that is leaking out of Iran is awful.
Yeah, no, I guess we sort of saw it coming, but then when you actually see the video snippets and you see the people getting shot and killed and dying on camera, and it's just, it's so sad, and it's, you know, you just feel like you wish there was something you could do, that you could just help them in some fashion, and it's just, I think everybody, you know, your heart and your soul is with all those people who are willing to sort of go in the streets and just sort of stand together, and you just wish there's something you could do.
Yeah, as my co-host said last week, David, we're too interested in watching semi-celebrities eat bugs to even, we weren't in the streets at all in 2000 or 2004.
Right.
And that's the thing, you know, with obviously the oppression going on, we don't know, right, what the death toll is. They're saying it could be as high as 150, right?
Yeah, I'm going to bet that it's that high. I mean, you know, I see the official counts. I tend to believe now, like the Huffington Post blogs and whatnot, who are talking about, you know, their hospital sources saying 30 or 40 killed on Saturday, maybe another 25, 30 killed on Sunday. We know that, you know, dozens were killed earlier in the week. So I got to believe it's that high. But, you know, one thing that's been so, I think, sort of, you know, interesting is that the way the sort of the Ayatollah has, you know, he basically aligned himself so clearly on Friday with Ahmadinejad, I think it changed the dynamics a little bit. It became, because at least from all the reporting that I've seen, initially the protests were, we just want a fair election, that we don't want to sort of overthrow the whole sort of standard of how the government operates and the ruling clerics. Now you start to hear people saying, okay, not only do we want an election, we want to get rid of the clerics, that the whole system is crazy. And so I think that ratchets us up even more.
Well, and you've got Mousavi saying, did I say that right, David?
You know, we have this debate in whether it's Mousavi or Mousavi.
Okay.
But either way, it's fine.
Okay. You know, I mean, that's the thing. He doesn't seem to be backing down, right? I mean, he's saying, I'm ready for martyrdom. You know, where is this going, in your opinion?
I think that's right. I mean, he's, you know, with all the millions of people behind him, I guess he's sort of, even if he wanted to back down, he probably can't at this point, just because he looks at all these people and how courageous they are, and after so many people have been killed, he can't just sort of walk away. But I also keep hearing from colleagues that he has legitimately changed over the past 20 years, that he was once, you know, the prime minister of Iran, that during the Iran-Iraq war, that he was, you know, fairly hardline himself, but that he and his family have changed dramatically, and that he's very progressive and very liberal and wants better relations with the West and doesn't want to antagonize Israel. And I sort of get the feeling that if this keeps going, I would sort of fear for his safety, that he'll get put under house arrest, or that, or he already has, or that he'll be thrown in jail, and that his supporters are apparently already being thrown in jail and locked up. We keep hearing reports of journalists who are disappearing. I mean, I think it just gets worse and worse.
Well, you know, and it seems to me, we already have Iran saying that the United States is meddling in the election, which, you know, isn't that a perfect example of how the president is saying we can be used as political football, and the right, of course, is saying he's not meddling enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of these who believes that I think the president's handling this just fine. I mean, you look at the example last week when, you know, a lot of my colleagues and I were talking about, oh, the State Department helped out with Twitter and got Twitter to keep it up. Well, the Iranian government used that. They just said, oh, see, there's the proof. There's the U.S. State Department meddling, State Department interfering with the election, using all its, you know, its companies like Twitter to sort of help fuel their. And if they'll do that with just, you know, the government, our government trying to keep Twitter open, you can imagine how much more of a distraction the United States would be if the president took even sort of more aggressive action. So I think there are at least some Republicans, you know, Pat Buchanan and George Will, who are recognizing that Obama's handling it well. I just find the way that some Republicans are playing politics with this is really, really across the line.
Oh, perhaps do you refer to Senator John McCain and this ridiculous resolution?
McCain, or whether it's Boehner or Cantor, or the things that were said last week, it's just, you know, come on.
Yeah, your reaction to John McCain Friday saying this, or not. Or in a second he'll say it, and then you'll react.
We have some MSNBC producers working for your show.
Here we go. Senator John McCain on Friday.
There was Ronald Reagan, who said, take down this wall, called him an evil empire, said he's ready to negotiate, but we have a fundamental right and respect to human rights. And to say we don't want to, quote, meddle, of course, is not in keeping with that tradition in any way. In fact, it's a direct contradiction of it.
Bam, 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 around.
Yeah. I think people made their choice last fall, and want somebody who sort of thinks about it and sort of stays calm and cool, as opposed to somebody who shoots first and asks questions later. So.
Yeah, I have to say, I've been a little relieved, what with Iran and North Korea, going, thank God we don't have a hothead in the Oval Office right now. I mean, can I ask you as a newsman? I mean, I understand that he was John McCain just ran for president, but he lost in a landslide. Why do they keep asking what he thinks, because it's always going to be the opposite of whatever Obama thinks.
I think most people who have covered McCain, I get the sense that if John McCain were president, he actually would be more sort of calm and thoughtful. I think it's just maybe it's irresistible to sort of play politics, that if you're in the opposition, that you're going to try to sort of separate yourself from the president at any opportunity. And even if it doesn't make sense in your own mind, let's have the president, issue much more sharper declarations condemning Iran. I mean, I don't know, sometimes I sort of go back and forth on John McCain. I really think that if he were president, he would be much more sort of circumspect and thoughtful than he is as the opposition leader. So.
Well, I mean, it seems like, what is the point of this, a resolution in Congress? I mean, that's the point. It's like, how are you actually helping in Iran? Of course we support the people in Iran. The president has said as much and has condemned the violence, but, that seems so playing politics, the whole resolution thing.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it sort of goes along with what some of the other resolutions that were passed the other week, include a resolution about the hockey playoffs, and a resolution Salamander Month or whatever.
Yeah, sort of to change the name of the Democratic Party to the Democrat Socialist Party.
Yeah, I mean,
like, get to work on health care.
I actually enjoyed how Ron Paul was like the one lone standout on the resolution and said that he does not believe that Congress has the constitutional authority to be questioning foreign governments.
Exactly.
Well, okay.
Exactly. David, what's your take on the healthcare debate? Because we were saying, if you're looking at these polls, there is just a huge disconnect in what the American people want and what appears to be happening in Congress.
Yeah, I think this is one where the American people are ahead of the debate, in the sense that you keep hearing the Republicans saying, you don't want a government bureaucrat standing in front of you and your doctor. And I keep waiting for Democrats to say, you don't want a private health insurance administrator standing between you and your doctor, which is the situation we have now.
Yeah.
But even though the Democrats are a little bit slow off the gun on that one, I think most American people already get it. I think it's something like half of the bankruptcies in this country are largely because of people who suddenly have medical costs who can't pay.
Right.
And whether it's people who have health insurance who have actually had to use it and have found how frustrating it is to be dropped by coverage or not have certain things covered or just essentially go into bankruptcy, between those people and the people who don't have health insurance who keep having to show up to the emergency room if they want to get treatment sometimes because it's too late, I think most Americans get it. And that is that the current system is not working. And I actually think that even though Congress says, single payer, there's not the votes for it, I think if the Democrats went hard and said, look, here's why our system needs to change. Here's why we need to take the for-profit motive out of health care, just like we don't have for-profit police departments or fire departments, that if they actually put it out there, I actually think most Americans would support it. But instead, they're sort of taking the political realistic approach of, let's just protect what we have now, and let's add this sort of public option so we can sort of do through the back door what we're unwilling to do through the front door. And that may cause more harm than good. But I think the American people are way ahead on this one.
Do you think we all need to wear green and march on Washington and with public health care written across our foreheads, our public plan?
Yeah, the problem is that the pharmaceuticals, the insurance industry, is the amount of money that they have flowing through Washington through various offices would just disgust you. There's so much control and power that they have, and I think it's even worse than anybody could possibly imagine.
Is that why you think maybe people like Senator Max Baucus and Kent Conrad are turning against the public health option?
Yeah, I think it's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I think they sort of feel like, they've gotten so much campaign money, they owe so much to the pharmaceuticals and insurance companies, that they want to protect their interests. And I think the debate ought to not be, okay, how much do the insurance companies have to give up, or how much do they get to keep? Wait a second, shouldn't the debate be, why do we have a for-profit health insurance system to begin with? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yep, absolutely. It's so broken, you don't even know where to begin. But we just had Congressman Massa on, who was the only congressman that's given up his public plan until the rest of us get one. And he was saying that we will not have meaningful health care reform if there's no public option.
Yeah, and, you know, the members of Congress who say, oh, we can't have a public option. Well, wait a second. These members of Congress, they get their health insurance through a public option, a government plan. Why can't the rest of us have what they have?
Seems like a whiff of hypocrisy that hardly ever happens in politics.
Yeah, never happens.
David Schuster, thanks so much, as always,
thanks,
for taking
Stephanie,
time for
pleasure.
Us. We worship you as the news god that you are.
Well, anytime you need me on the show, I'm happy to do it.
Listen, you're going to be sorry you said that. Thank you, David.
Stephanie, take care.
All right, bye-bye now. David Schuster.
Hooray! He's good.
Yeah.
I'm doing the Ed Show tomorrow. I'll have to go to New York to do it sometime so I can pester David Schuster in person. Remember the time on the show you said you'd come in any time? Remember that?
That was awesome.
That was awesome. Remember that? Want to come on tomorrow? Okay.
Maybe he could have you on his show.
And the next day? And
hey.
The next day? Hey, there's the
show. So you can fly 3,000 miles again.
All right, 44 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest in Iran and healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is wild. I never heard anything like this in my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joe in Spokane on McCain. Hello, Joe.
Hey, good morning. You know, Sean Hattie, such a patriot and courageous man, ought to hop in his private jet, pick up McCain, fly over Iran, parachute out, and just take them mullahs out.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and maybe he could pick up Bill O'Reilly on the way,
too. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. These guys, it's all they do is shoot spitballs. Like, seriously, what the hell do they want Obama to do?
Yeah.
About the violence in Iran, exactly. I love this headline. McCain favors boarding North Korean ship. Well, good, Grampy. You go do it yourself then.
Yeah, he was in the Navy. He knows how to board a ship.
If he were president, he would have created two international incidents just this weekend.
Bomb, 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 man. Bomb, 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 North Korea.
Great.
McCain says the U.S. should board a North Korean ship. It is tracking. Exactly. He's still all fired up from the pirate incident, apparently. The Obama administration has said it's prepared to confront ships believed to be carrying contraband materials to North Korea, but would not try to forcibly board them. As David Schuster said, I think the president's doing just fine on handling the situation in Iran. They're already using us as a political football, and we're not meddling. And the right wing is just like, let's inflame the situation more in there.
Let's throw some kerosene on the fire. One interesting part of this is that former president of Iran, Rafsanjani, has had five members of his family detained. He's still one of the most influential politicians in Iran and big supporter of Mousavi. So I'm wondering if it's a slight glimmer of hope that there'll be sort of a revolution among the mullahs, power struggle.
That would be something.
Yeah.
Chris in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I was listening to your interview with Mr. Schuster, and he was talking about the insurance companies and the lobbyists and all that stuff. And to tell you the truth, the way corporations have been treating people in this country for the last few years, I'm sorry, I really don't care. I really don't care what Kent Conrad or Max Baucus feel that they owe to the insurance companies, because the insurance companies aren't their primary debtors. They're supposed to be there to serve us.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, that makes me so angry.
And as soon as we have the money to buy out the insurance companies?
Someone suggested we change our theme song back to We're Not Going to Take It Anymore.
You might have to.
just when we thought we won the fight. No. Healthcare for you.
You know what, though? President Obama is fighting for a public option.
I know.
So.
I know. I'll be anxious to see how this town hall goes on Wednesday, the ABC thing. All right. So back to the situation in Iran. As David Schuster was saying, you know, it's hard to tell with the news situation being what it is, what the death toll actually is. They're saying as high as 150. You know, you were saying this horrible video is leaked out of this woman being shot right in front of her father. Like, you know, it's hard to tell. But, you know, obviously there is they're using, what do you call them, water cannons and, you know.
Using more than water cannons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're,
and there are actually hundreds of protesters gathering
tear
today.
Tear gas, water cannons. What I'm saying is there's a lot of,
There are actually hundreds of protesters gathering today, even though they've, been told that they could be shot if they gather.
Mm-hmm. And as Jim has mentioned, we won't even get off the couch if there's a semi-celebrity eating a bug on television. But,
yes.
I you got to say, those are people that clearly, they want freedom, you know. The president talking about the situation in Iran this weekend.
How they approach and deal with people who are, through peaceful means, trying to be heard will, I think, send a pretty clear signal to the international community about what Iran is and is not.
All right.
Maybe there could be some pressure put to bear on countries that have business with Iran. And see how bad it's getting.
Well, not a lot of countries have business with Iran right now.
The Germans do and the Russians
have. Well, yeah, other countries do, but...
It's possible. And they can't kill everybody. I mean,
well, that's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm saying. That's what someone was pointing out. We're in a different technological age, even in a place like Iran, mm-hmm. where you can't exactly. That's what I'm thinking. They can't. Can they really do a Tiananmen Square? I mean, can they really do that with the world watching? I mean, that's what they're saying is that I was reading the Time magazine analysis of it, and there's so many different ways this can go. But man, that
Khamenei is not going to live forever. I mean, maybe there'll be. I hope a revolt among the mullahs that
well, there are already fractures starting to happen between the mullahs on the council.
Rana in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the healthcare debate. Hi, Rana.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that what it all comes down to is public financing of our elections.
Mm-hmm.
Because until these politicians are no longer beholden to credit card companies and insurance companies and, how many other companies, until they're not tied to those people by campaign financing, nothing's ever going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to switch to public financing, it would also not only free them up from all of this, but they would not be out there trying to raise money when they're supposed to be back in Washington doing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that's what it all comes down to, financing.
Yep, no, you're right. I mean, that's what someone was just saying, is because it's like one thing leads to another. It's like dominoes, because campaign finance is broke, so the healthcare reform is broken.
I think it all goes back to lobbyists. All of those problems go back to lobbyists.
Yep.
Vetus in Tucson on healthcare. Hey, Vetus.
Hi there. I wanted to point out that I'm already paying for single-payer healthcare. Every check I get has $90 taken out for Medicare, and I won't get that unless I live till I'm 65,
right.
And I'm currently paying for those senators and congressmen to have their gold-plated diamond-encrusted healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're already paying for it.
The tiara of healthcare is as our congressman said.
That he gave up. Representative Eric Massa is a hero.
Oh, and by the way, something else we had found in Googling him is he had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
That's right, and
so,
he beat it. Which
but for someone like that to give
rare.
Up their public health plan in Congress is, takes more courage than most of us have got.
That's right.
Lori in Illinois, you've got the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to make a recommendation for you all that you guys, in order to actually enjoy the right-wing rhetoric, play the Ronald Reagan drinking game, and that every time, Bill O'Reilly or your boyfriend Sean Hannity or any of them mention Ronald Reagan or John McCain, you take a shot, and that maybe after a few shots of Irish car bombs or something, maybe all their rhetoric will start making sense.
Yes. All right. Ooh, everybody get their drink ready for Representative Mike Pence, Republican of Indiana.
When Ronald Reagan went before the Brandenburg Gate, he did not say, Mr. Gorbachev, that wall is none of our business.
That's the right-wing tool I did the debate on the Fairness Doctrine with. That's
Mike
the
Pence?
Guy that's trying to slap the kibble out of my dog's mouth.
There weren't people being shot in the streets at the time.
Yeah.
It was near the tail end of the Cold War.
Yeah. And I love how they selectively quote Reagan. Because, when he was negotiating, when he was talking to the Soviets, they
speak.
He was a Nazi appeaser then.
He was talking to our enemies.
Yeah. It's hilarious. I mean, seriously, Obama says he'd like to reduce nuclear weapons, and they're like, Reagan said he wanted to have zero nuclear weapons in the world.
We need to be able to kill everyone on the planet a million times over. 1,000 is not enough.
When he goes before the UN and says, I'm the citizen of the world, nothing. When Obama says it,
I am a citizen of the world.
Less than 5% of the funding for the troops was this IMF thing. Ronald Reagan said the IMF is the financial linchpin of the world financial system.
They don't. That's why I'm pointing at Bonzo, head of the IMF.
Boy, they selectively quote the Reagan, don't they? 57 minutes after the hour, back with Tinsel Talk and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jennifer Palmieri, Senior VP for at the Center for American Progress, calls in on the Celebrity Hotline next hour to talk about the latest in Iran and healthcare. Also, Tom in Connecticut writes, Steph, if all these Republican wackadoodles are so concerned about democracy, why don't they tell the people of Minnesota to rise up and fight for Al Franken, who's already won the election?
Yeah.
You know what? Al Franken's lead attorney, Mark Elias, on the Celebrity Hotline next hour to talk about just that. Funny you should mention it, Tom, in Windsor Lakes, Connecticut. Thanks for bringing it up. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lloyd, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama will be on the end show tomorrow on the MSNBC. In the meantime, the situation heating up in Iran. Oh, thank goodness, Laura Ingraham. Talk about how you know the cause of the whole thing, Chris. It's Barack Obama.
The Supreme Leader of Iran takes aim at the U.S. in a fiery speech today. Is President Obama botching this whole election mess by standing on the sidelines?
Yeah, see, that's the whole point. Why he doesn't, you don't want to get in the middle of that.
He's because attacking him even though he is on the sidelines. I think the reaction is going to be if he inserts himself in the whole thing.
What? Yeah.
She needs to ice her groin from that stretch.
God. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay, Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary on health care reform.
The president believes it's an important aspect of any health care reform plan that has to go through Congress.
That would be the public option.
Let's hope we can get her done, as the cable guy would say. Let's get her done there, Democrats.
Please don't say that.
Meanwhile, Julie in Seattle with a little heads up, a little entertainment heads up for Mama.
Oh.
Steph, Minikiss, and your lover, Frank Stallone, appeared on the Sunday night season premiere of Z-Rock. That's an IFC show about a rock band that plays kids' parties by day. And presumably rock and roll all night. Yeah. That's like a dream come true for me.
Yeah, Frank Stallone was your lover.
No, he just hit on me at the Playboy Mansion once.
And if
I marry him, though, I will have Minikiss play at the wedding. Okay.
Did you ever answer the question why you were at the Playboy Mansion in the first place?
Todd Bridges invited me. Okay.
Oh, that's
you know
right.
What? A lot of things, it's just best that you don't ask.
Oh, jeez.
I was there with Todd Bridges. Okay.
Todd Bridges?
Mm-hmm.
What, Tony Danza wasn't available?
All right, let's check.
At least you weren't there with Gary Coleman. There is something to be said for that.
I did play. I played with trains. I played with a toy train set with Gary Coleman on my disastrous late night show.
Maybe that's why it was disastrous, because you did crap like that.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we?
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, the headline is Jeff Goldblum gets older, but his girlfriends don't. Jeff Goldblum, 56 years old, has been married twice, engaged two other times. His girlfriend's average age continues to be somewhere in their 20s while
Damn
he
it.
Moves blithely into his 50s.
Wow.
His latest
thing. He was married to Gina Davis, right?
I believe he was.
Yes.
His latest is a 21-year-old Tanya Raymond, a young actress most famous for playing the role of Alex Rasu, somebody on Lost. Mama doesn't see that.
No.
Okay, we
it's
have
past your bedtime.
Yes, Nigel Tubthumper on this, I believe.
Good day to you. I'm Sir Nigel Tubthumper, Viscount and Queso Grandissimo of the Center for the Study of Nice Work, if you can get it, Subdivision, well, duh. It seems there is a bit of a kerfluffle about the increasingly long in the tooth Jeff Goldblum continuing to sport with tender young starlets in their early 20s. To which we say, bully! Nice work if you can get it indeed. Yet, underlying this phenomenon is a fundamental law of nature first quantified by Sir Isaac Newton, whose formula reads, money times fame plus reasonable good looks equals panties falling at the speed of light. The man is merely the embodiment of the physics of being a movie star. Just as the moon nearing the Earth pulls the ocean to and fro, so does the proximity of celebrity cause the little dolly's juices to rise in response. It is the natural order of things. For those of us not similarly blessed with the gift of charisma, we can only say, you go, boy! Rip one off for the rest of us! Cut a swath through all that nubility big enough to drive a bus full of nerds through! You get it for me, Jeff, and make my miserable plight worth living vicariously, at least! Oh, dear. I do hope the missus isn't listening. It appears she is. Cheery bye.
Oh! That frying pan is getting a lot of use.
It's a lot of violence in today's show.
Yeah.
And finally, Madonna's new daughter has been flown to London. An airport employee and a source familiar with the adoption proceedings in Malawi has said the airport worker said three-year-old Mercy James flew out on a private jet, as most three-year-olds do.
Sure.
Heading for London, that's the second child Madonna has adopted from Malawi. She was accompanied by a flight by a nanny, a child nurse, and a third aide, as most three-year-olds who take private jets are.
What? What?
And okay. John and Kate just have John and Kate. They don't have any assistants.
Okay, we have, what is this, an ad?
The spokesman for Child Schlepp.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrities, has this ever happened to you? You finagled bride, sued, thrown tantrums, and generally made an even bigger, bigger ass of yourself than normal so that you can score the... Let me try this again. Celebrities, has this ever happened to you? You finagled, bribed, sued, thrown tantrums, and generally made an even bigger ass of yourself than usual so that you can score the latest third world accessory only to find that you can't pick the little rugrat up because your pedicure appointment is in the way? Bummer. That's why there's Child Schlepp. With Child Schlepp's new pet-em-and-forget-em service, your new acquisition will make it from whatever poverty-stricken hellhole you got it from to your gaudy palatial digs without you having to lift a finger or care. That's right. The little bundle of interior decoration joy will be fed, watered, walked, changed, given its shots, packed in cotton wool and dry ice, and shipped first class straight to you. With the pack-out option, we'll take care of the unpacking, defrosting, and show prep so you can get to showing it off to your party guests right away. We check for spoilage, and if anything's less than perfect, we'll provide you with a loaner from our extensive collection of ethnic Africans until the little ankle biter comes back from the hospital. So shipping and handling has gotten in the way of your adoptive bliss? Call Child Schlepp. We've got the best ship in the business. Child Schlepp is a wholly owned subsidiary of Child Max, Inc.
Oh, I thought they might be associated with Child Max. Okay, that's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Thrall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. And buy the downloadable album, why don't you, for just $9.99. Go to the Tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
What kind of stuff is on that downloadable album, Jim?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. Some of it not suitable for the kiddies.
So you get a little dirty?
Not
places.
Suitable for clients of Child Max.
Yeah. Wow, you get to hear an R-rated Jim on that album.
So like, much like we do during the commercial breaks here on the Stephanie Miller
Newscast.
Exactly,
and there's some more current stuff in there that's also not for the kids. Hmm. Put a big warning on there. Not suitable for work. Huh. Anyway.
I'm guessing there's just been an avalanche of children.
Yeah,
that
great.
That is stampeded toward Jim's website now. Don't do it. Okay, so guess what? Now that Madge has
Madonna.
Yes.
Yes. Not everybody knows her as Madge. Mm-hmm.
Rhymes with, never mind.
Apparently, there's a competition. Angelina Jolie, apparently, maybe more now.
Oh,
she told Anderson Cooper, everyone in my office asked me any plans for more kids. Anderson asked her, always, Angelina replied, we do love children. We do want a big family. Never say no.
Oh, boy.
To which Brad might have said,
help me. Somebody help me.
He's feeling mighty.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
A lot like Katie Holmes these days.
Paul McCartney's book about the adventures of a squirrel looks set to be heading for the big screen.
Not Rocky Raccoon?
No.
But a squirrel.
It's a, yes, the book tells the story of Whirl the Squirrel, who is a cheeky nut muncher.
He's a cheeky nut muncher.
I thought that was the Adam Lambert story. Oh, I don't know what I meant by that. I thought it was a musical story.
Adam Lambert just happens to like cashews.
I didn't understand what that meant, even. I don't know. All right.
Oh, Lord.
Tom Jones is getting the Hall of Fame award.
Because that's a nut.
Yes.
Tom Jones was presented with the Hitmaker Award at the Songwriters Hall of Fame 40th Anniversary Award to celebrate his exceptional staying power. We should ask Elvira about that.
Oh. Did she want you telling people about that?
I think she has a Tom Jones story.
What?
Next time she's on, we'll ask her.
If she'll come on now that you've mentioned that.
Perhaps not. Okay.
We mentioned where you could find topless pictures of her last time.
Listen,
she was here.
She told the story bottomless. About how when she was a what kind of dancer in Vegas.
A showgirl.
Know. Yes. She danced for Sammy Davis, and she put a glass eye over her nipple, and he enjoyed that. He thought, laughed and laughed. Laughed. Loved it. It's hard to top that story.
She has so many stories. We need to have her in again. I want it, because every time she comes in.
Oh, wait, you know what? She just called me this weekend. We have to have her in. You know why?
Why?
Because she just got back from London, where she went to the Sultan of Brunei's birthday party.
Brunei.
Who is a big Elvira fan. And invited her. And I'm like,
wow.
I hardly ever hear that from friends. I'm like, what did you do this week? I was in London at the Sultan of Brunei's birthday.
Brunei.
Whatever. So we have to hear about that. It was a star-studded event, probably.
That is one fascinating woman.
Yeah, I know. Me, I'm like, I picked up dog poop and I got some knots out of the chains in my jewelry box. I don't know.
I was at brunch yesterday with some friends, and they were quoting lines from Elvira's movie.
She's fabulous.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of fabulous, Richard Simmons dares Anderson Cooper to a dance-off. He threw down the gauntlet on the...
What?
He
really?
Was on Anderson Cooper's show.
Why?
Dressed in bejeweled sleeveless top and his signature workout shorts.
That's not that kind of thing Anderson Cooper does.
No.
He's a serious newsman.
He challenged him to a live dance-off. I don't
Oh, Lord.
He almost ran over my ex-wife once.
Who?
Excuse me?
Richard Simmons?
Richard Simmons.
Oh, I thought you meant Anderson Cooper.
No.
Ran him in a car?
Yeah, she was on a crosswalk, and Richard Simmons went, oops, almost ran her over.
Wow. That is...
Trump. No.
That's quite a visual to look up and see.
And Robert Downey Jr. almost, during his...
I've heard a lot of people
days.
Have almost been rear-ended by Richard Simmons. All right, then, let's... you always make fun of me because I go to a psychic. At least I have not hired a psychic to contact my dead pig, as George Clooney has.
Oh.
He loved that pig, Max.
He did. He really did.
Yes, he died in 2006. George said the psychic told me Max had a great life with me. He was happy in spirit and still hangs out with me sometimes.
He used to come sleep in the bed. People would be sleeping over and suddenly there'd be
a pig.
Somebody next to them and a big potbelly pig.
Pig.
That's
yeah.
cute, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not like normal pigs. They're actually
But you're
clean.
Still in bed with George Clooney is the upside. Yes, there's a pig there, too, but, you know.
Normal pigs make good pets, too.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they taste good.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's plane made an emergency landing.
Sausage and bacon. Oh.
Now I've gotten you guys on it. See, this is why you spend so much time, and this is why you're fat.com.
That's a great website.
I mentioned Ferd Stuffs, and you get distracted. Arnold Schwarzenegger's plane made an emergency landing because of smoke in the cockpit.
Yeah.
I'm guessing then he had to get back in the chopper. Then he had to
get back to the chopper because there was smoke in the cockpit and things of this nature.
Mm-hmm. His plane was about 10 minutes from touching down in Santa Monica.
I used to there being smoke in the cockpit, but that's a long story from the old days when I was in the weightlifting thing.
Arnold twittered about the landing, saying it was a little adventure.
He tweets?
Yes, he had to land in Van Nuys instead of, I don't know.
Oh,
he
God.
Got those big fingers on the buttons.
His big sausage fingers. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with the latest. Did the violence get worse in Iran? We will tell you all the latest as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We're gonna rock this town, make them scream and shout. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Renee in North Carolina on the healthcare debate. Hey, Renee.
Yes. The reason the medical profession, one reason they're so unconcerned about the cost of rising medical care is if you or your family are a member of the Medical Insiders Club, you get free treatment. I've known my share of doctors' wives, and they've told me stories about how if they had to bring little Johnny because he tripped over his feet to the medical, to the emergency room, they are moved to the head of the line. And also, I knew a doctor's wife who her daughter was born with what we know is cab door ears, and they were fixed for free.
Mm-hmm.
See, they treat each other for free, which means they're making up that difference somewhere, mm-hmm. which means we're probably subsidizing in higher fees the free treatment that they give each other.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Lou in Massachusetts on healthcare as well. Hey, Lou.
Here's the problem, Steph. The reason they're fighting public options is because they're going to eventually accept it as the alternative to single payer. Single payer works. Public option is going to end up the way public education works. The poor will be in the public system. The rich will underfund it. And the rich will still get their regular insurance plan.
Mm.
That's the right reason.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, Lou, the more and more I hear, you know, people that make the argument for single payer, the more I understand it, you know. But at this point, I'm starting to lose hope we're going to get a public option at all, you know. I mean, that's what's... All right. So the situation in Iran obviously getting worse over the weekend. What's his name? Mousavi? Did I say it right?
Mousavi.
Mousavi.
I think Mousavi.
Called for a general strike if he were to be arrested. He said he's ready for martyrdom. He has again called for nullifying the election's results, and opposition protesters swore to continue pressing their claims. Of course, the violence got worse. President Obama called the government's reaction violent and unjust, quoting Martin Luther King. He warned again that the world is watching what happened, what's happening in Tehran. So there's, you know, and as David Schuster told us earlier, it's hard to confirm how many deaths, but we're hearing at least 150. Gordon Brown, the British Prime Minister.
We are with others, including the whole of the European Union, unanimously today in condemning the use of violence, in condemning media suppression, and in condemning attempts, of course, to make sure that there are people who are political prisoners who are not free to express their views in Iran.
The Obama administration, of course, struck to a measured response to the uprising in Iran. And, Jim, I think, as you said, it kind of proves his point that they're already, Iran's already saying we're meddling in the elections.
Meddling anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, it would only make it worse to really, yeah.
The Ayatollah Khomeini.
They want to remove trust from the Islamic Republic. They want to sow doubt and confusion about the electoral process.
Khomeini again, the supreme Ayatollah there on Friday.
They should feel a little embarrassed.
But there is sort of a backstage struggle going on among the clerics, especially since Rafsanjani's daughter and four of the relatives were arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
There's starting to be some fractures on that Supreme Council or whatever they call it.
And Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary, reiterating what the president said last week.
We're not going to be used as political foils and political footballs in a debate that's happening by Iranians in Iran.
Okay, speaking of political footballs, John McCain on the little resolution they had to do in Congress.
It's unfortunate in a way that this resolution is required since the administration does not want to, quote, meddle.
Ay vey. 28 minutes after the hour. More of what the right is screaming about over Iran as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You increasingly attractive-looking woman. You know, you're really pretty.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm serious. You could be in magazines. You could. You can, and not just like Jugs or Creamsicle.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Scott in L.A. on healthcare. Hey, Scott, welcome.
Hey.
I just want to, you guys were talking about Iran. I wanted to make two comments, one about healthcare, one about Iran, quickly. Healthcare, sorry, there's no money. There's no money. We can't afford to do this right now. They gave all the money to the bankers.
We can't afford not to. Healthcare is sinking.
That's wrong. We'll go
How is it wrong?
Farther into debt. It's morally and everything else.
Really? You don't think healthcare costs are part of what's sinking business, a lot of businesses in this country?
I'm telling you right now, we do not have the money to put that on.
Scott, we could pull out of Iraq and we'd have billions.
Scott, over 50%.
Absolutely.
Scott.
Pull out of Iraq, but unfortunately we have a president that is no different than the last one.
Scott.
And that's what I was going to say about Iran, is that my comment about that is this. Is that right now what you're getting is propaganda coming out of there so they could justify a warm and fuzzy invasion.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying that what's happening, everything that's coming out of Iran right now, you better question. You questioned everything in Iraq. You better question what's going on now. Because if you start to gain enough sympathy for this so-called revolution.
So-called?
Yeah.
People are dying in the streets.
People are getting shot. Have you seen the video of NADA?
Was it?
You know what?
You think that's all CGI?
You know all these Twitter feeds? Do you know that they were all registered on the same day? Do you know that they're using the same exact avatars?
Scott, I'm not reading Twitter feeds. I am seeing video on television of people getting shot and dying on camera for what they believe in.
Here's a couple names for you. Jessica Lynch. Let's talk about some of the other people.
Okay, who do you think is... who's manufacturing this? You're saying.
All I'm saying is that we have put in nearly $500 billion into overthrowing this government. I mean a half billion. About four to five hundred million have been put into covert operations in Iran.
Under the Bush administration,
Come on, it's the same. It's two wings on the same bird. These are the same people.
Well, then what's your solution, Scott?
No, my solution is this. Just be awake. Keep your antennas up. Just because Obama says it, don't just buy into it.
What should America do?
Scott, I'm unclear what you're saying. You just said we're going to justify a warm and fuzzy invasion? What are you talking about?
Because all the information that's coming out right now and coming to you is something to make you feel sympathy towards Iran. We know that we have an element that wants to invade Iran. So if they
what element is that?
Who?
President Obama wants to invade Iran?
You, Bob Gates. We know Gates and company.
How do you know that? How do you know that, Scott? You're just throwing accusations out there with absolutely no proof whatsoever.
Jim, PNAC, the whole mission.
Oh, dear God. All right.
God, Scott.
Something happened to his phone
line. We had an election, and there's some of the same people are there, but they're not in control.
Yeah.
We're not going to invade Iran.
They're
now.
Not That's setting insane. Policy, Scott. Good Lord and butter.
Wow. Okay, so the Republicans, as usual, doing tooly political things instead of actually things that accomplish anything. They did this resolution to condemn Tehran's crackdown on protest rallies. And by the way, the president condemned the Tehran's crackdown on protest rallies. So why we needed a resolution? This was just a veiled criticism of Obama.
That's everything the Republicans do now. Somehow blame Obama for everything.
Yes, Representative Eric Cantor, Republican of Virginia.
We are here because when America hears the call for freedom, we ought to answer.
Oh. And no, don't speak.
Please.
Don't speak.
What a tool.
Yeah, he is. Like we did in Iraq, the call for freedom.
Yeah.
How many hundreds of thousands of lives?
Robert Gibbs said the administration's view is that Iranian leaders would use fiercer U.S. support for the protesters to paint them as puppets of the Americans. That is not what we're going to do, said Robert Gibbs. Meanwhile, Mike Huckabee on the president's limpness.
I called his response this week tepid and limp. And I think that it characterizes his intense desire to have a sit-down conversation, to have tea with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And look, why would you want to have a conversation with a guy who will kill his own people because they protested the election results. Barack Obama ought to be calling out the government of Iran for the shooting of the people who were protesting, as well as for shutting down government, or at least the access that people had to protest.
Yeah, he did all that.
Yeah.
it really is amazing. That you're just like, what? Seriously, what would you have him do?
What, start bombing?
Yeah.
Start bombing Tehran and kill more civilians?
That's
Is
what
that
they
your
want
solution?
Because
yeah.
they're so yeah. war hungry.
Yeah. Senator Lindsey Graham, the panty waste, I mean, pardon me, Senator, said he's been more timid and passive than I would like. Charles Grassley said we could be more forceful than we have. Meaning what?
Meaning what?
Exactly.
Start threatening them?
On Saturday, Obama urged Tehran to, quote, stop all violent and unjust actions against its own people. John McCain said, I'd like to see the president be stronger. Although I appreciate the comments he made yesterday. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Dianne Feinstein said it is crucial that we not have our fingerprints on this, that this truly be inspired by the Iranian people. Thank you.
Exactly. Just like the last revolution was, which was a response to our overthrowing the democratically elected Mossadegh government.
All right.
Which is why they accuse us of meddling, because we did. We and the British in 1953.
Exactly. All right.
Set this whole thing in motion.
Let's go to Buddy in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, I got three things real quick. Mm. Number one is you better make Congressman Eric Massa a regular on your show.
I know it. He's fabulous.
What a class act. And when you compare him to Max, they bought my office. He was so good. And the second thing is on Iran. Sometime diplomacy, the smartest thing to say is not say anything.
Yep.
And finally, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but...
Yeah, we needed more of that saber-rattling that George Bush used to do. We need a little smoke them out, dead or alive. Crusade!
You know, that's why we have a State Department, and sometimes, you know, not saying anything publicly is the best.
Right, and then, you know, Buddy, they tried to create dissension, like, oh, he has differences with Hillary or Joe Biden, and they're like, the Secretary of State's office said there's no daylight between what the Secretary thinks and what the President thinks on Iran.
There's some really smart men and women working on this 24/7, and a lot of them saying, be quiet.
Yes.
And finally, is I don't know if you saw this, but Senator Corker's office blew off a meeting with Sonia Sotomayor because she was late because she was limping with a broken ankle.
Yeah, because he couldn't wait for the gimp because it's only a lifetime appointment, and apparently she was 10 minutes late because she's a little slower these days because of the, that was nice.
That up and become a permanent minority party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Senator Corker blew off his meeting with Sonia Sotomayor because she was 10 minutes late because she's, in a big leg cast.
Come on, walk it off!
Yeah, he told her to run it off. He said, I decided to proceed on to the next meeting. Very nice, very nice, very respectful. Yeah, that's the fair and respectful process they promised to give her.
Just like my 6th grade PE coach. Yeah. Walk it off!
Yeah. Tell Gimpy I'm not waiting.
Yeah, me being the fat kid, I probably went to the corner of the field and cried or something.
Kava in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our Scott call on the Iranian situation. Hello. Hi, Kava.
Kava, yes. How are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good. I just wanted to comment on the last caller that was there. It's unfortunate that a lot of... our media is not quite up to par with what's going on over there. And I'm a Persian-American myself, lived in the States for about 20-plus years, and I actually lived through the 1979 revolution as a 6-year-old. And everything that you see on TV is quite reminiscent of what's going on over there and when I was a child. So the gentleman who was commenting that it is not true, or the Twitter, the people that are registering the Twitter, and I did, and I did the whole Facebook thing, and it is all done by concerned Iranian and Americans in the United States and all around the world to actually spread the word and actually get all the pictures out. The girl.
So you are not of the same idea that it is green screened entirely by the Obama administration in order to justify an invasion. What?
Yeah. Absolutely not. And I think the right wing media is just gonna spin that their way, and it's quite unfortunate that people are dying because of that.
Yep.
I just wanted to comment on that, and I say that the girl that died, her name was Neda.
Yeah.
In Persian, that means voice, and I'm sure you guys have covered that. I might be behind the whole thing. So.
And I just got an invitation to join a Facebook group. In memory of her. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to make sure that the pictures are front and center, and people see that, because the atrocities are going to continue, and this is a revolution. It's not made up.
Yep.
I live through it. I see the pictures.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it.
Although Andrew Sullivan says that the authorities are setting up decoy tweets to lure protesters into traps or spread disinformation.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. But you know what? The people in Iran are aware of all of this. And so they're finding workarounds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God bless them for doing that.
43 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the healthcare debate as the president's big town hall approaches on Wednesday. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Rock.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show down. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Don, a fine American from Reno, Nevada, who is, I'm going to say preemptively, the smartest boy in class today. Steph, the Republicans are nuts about this Iran thing. What if Iran had blatantly backed Gore in 2000 when the election results were in doubt? The Republicans would have had a fit denouncing Iran's interference in our election process. Thank you, Don.
It'd be nice if Gore had endorsed Gore.
All right. Let's go to Linda in Maryland on the healthcare debate. Hey, Linda, welcome. Hello, Linda.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I just wanted to say on the healthcare issue that people, I think, were sort of looking at the wrong point. We should be trying to talk more about what should be taken care of with the health care bill, and that is all pre-existing conditions should be covered. If we would start saying all insurance companies have to cover pre-existing conditions, half of them would jump out. They'd say, oh, no, let's have universal care. Well,
we can't actually cover people. We can't cover people that have things wrong with them. That's not the point of this. Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I had to say about that, too, is that if we did have universal health care, all of these companies wouldn't have high workers' comp payroll, workers' comp costs for that type of insurance, because that would be all the health care part.
You know, Linda, this caller we just had that said we can't afford health care. We can't afford not to have health care, you know?
I agree with you 100%, and Obama is handling the Iranian situation just right.
Yeah.
My mom and dad were in Iran.
When Pat Buchanan says so, you know that somehow the circle of thought has closed. Let's go to Sue in Rockville, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Sue.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I hate to tell you this. I know you're going to be shocked, but the Republicans are lying.
No.
What? No. Stop it.
I'm sorry. But, you know, everyone knows that there is things going on behind the scenes that Obama cannot speak about in terms of Iran. And every Iranian knows where America stands and that the people here, especially since there's generations of Iranian Americans, fully support democracy in Iran.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for them to turn around, you know, and just treat us like idiots when they're the morons who continue to be functioning around 1865, and, you know, whether it's the health care issue.
Listen,
and just lying.
Sue, right. They have proved that they will basically just do anything to obstruct Barack Obama, to try to make him look bad, to score political points. I mean, you know, this is an important international situation, and they shouldn't be spending time, you know, drawing up a resolution. That's exactly what the president already said.
Exactly. And here are three things to fund all health care. So that crazy, why are they always named Scott, these lunatics who call them?
I don't know.
But here's three quick things, okay? One, close the corporate loopholes and make corporations pay fair taxes to this country. Two, end the Bush tax cuts to the wealthy. And three, make FICA go above $106,000. If you're earning $200,000 a year, you should be paying FICA all the way along. It takes a tiny hit on your – makes no negligible difference on the state, the way you live your life. Those three things, even before the war ends, would bring trillions of dollars into the treasury and would not cost middle class or working class people an extra nickel.
Yep.
We could fully fund it, and again, I know it's shocking, but the Republicans, they just lie. They lie. When they open their mouths, they lie.
All right, Sue.
Not all of them.
She got that out of her. She had that stuck in her craw all weekend.
Your mom is a Republican, and she doesn't lie every time she opens her mouth.
Bless her heart.
Your brother is a Republican.
Art in Los Angeles. Let me just say his head just exploded for every suggestion Sue just had.
Okay.
There goes his entire business helping people hide their money or whatever it is he does. All right, Art in... I kid.
Sure, the
Art,
SEC would like to know about
that. Yeah. Oh, I kid. Art in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. I think that even if we had 100% support for a single payer or whatever, like from the average Joe, me and you and everybody else, I don't think we would get it because of all the money involved and that's against it. And because of that, I think there's only two options for us, and we're going to have to make one of those two things happen. First one would be a boycott against insurance, which would require that labor unions back it. If the labor unions back it, the money would dry up for insurance pretty fast. And the other option would be campaign finance reform, which would mean zero public money for campaign finance.
Right, from health insurance companies. Yep, I hear you. All right, let's go to Millie in Massachusetts on health care. Hey, Millie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
First of all, I want to talk about the pharmaceuticals since we've already bashed the insurance companies enough.
Uh-huh.
But first, McCain, Graham, Huckabee, Rohrabacher, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Just ask one of them. I just want one journalist to ask one of them what they want done. One. Now, on the pharmaceuticals, I unfortunately had a 16-year-old grandson die of bone cancer in October.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. And we had a great hospital, Children's in Boston, Dana-Farber. And those doctors, nurses, everybody couldn't have done more if it was their own kid. Meanwhile, I'm with my grandson and daughter. By the way, her husband had a good insurance policy. He's a union man. She went and got a prescription filled at the hospital pharmacy. 10-day prescription, 30 capsules, $4,800.
Oh, wow. God.
And 2 weeks before, $3,700. Now, that he fought this for 2 years from the time he was 14, so you can imagine what the pharmaceutical bills are. Oof. Don't tell me any medicine costs $480 a pill.
Yep.
No way.
Yep.
So you got to start some equal opportunity bashing.
Yep, I hear you, Millie. All right, thank you.
The pharmaceutical companies, they can be evil.
That's beyond ridiculous. Yep. All right. Let's go to John in North Carolina on Iran. Hello, John.
Yeah. Thank you. I wanted to talk about these Republicans who are desperate for the Bush-style leadership. I mean, they want all bluster and no accomplishment.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're begging for him for Obama to get out there and start, you know, throwing his weight around when, in fact, he probably is behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Because... But they would rather have bluster with nothing getting done. But for 8 years,
yeah, just a saber rattling that inflames the situation.
That's right. We had bluster in Pakistan. Pakistan never really lifted a finger to help us against Al Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
6 months after Obama takes office, Pakistan is invading the valleys where Al Qaeda's hiding.
Right. Mm-hmm. Look at this pirate situation. We were saying Obama took care of that with one bullet. If it was George Bush, he would have saber rattled and inflamed the situation and told him to bring it on.
If you're a bad guy, who scares you more? The loudmouth who never does anything or the silent but deadly guy?
Yeah, there you go.
The guy who's not going to give you any warning before the missile comes through your window is the guy that I'm a little more worried about.
John, ask that fly in the Oval Office and you'll know.
That's right.
Yeah.
One other thing, Stephanie. I'm driving through North Carolina and I've had to do the same five-hour drive three times in the last week and mm-hmm. you've rescued me.
Aww.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
I've discovered you on XM. And
well, thank you.
State.
If only you could have rescued me from my Republican family in North Carolina this weekend.
Your Republican family is living in a Democratic state. Don't forget that.
That is true.
I should remind them of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, those of you that don't think he's being strong enough on Iran, ask the fly. All right.
Took care of that.
Take that, PETA. Okay. Catherine in Tucson on healthcare. Hey, Catherine.
Hey, you know, I find it interesting that all of these Republicans that don't want us to have health care all have marvelous policies themselves.
Uh-huh.
I would like to see them live without it.
Well, you know, this is I had Congressman Massa on this morning, who used to be a Republican, split with his party on Iran. He's a Democrat now.
Iraq.
He's the only one in Congress. Oh, excuse me, Iraq. Who has given up his public plan? He's given up his health care plan until the rest of us have a public plan.
And something else about the Massachusetts, about the pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
For that kind of money, they could have taken a limo up to Canada and gotten some pills.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's true.
All right. 57 minutes after the hour, Jennifer Palmieri, Senior VP at the Center for American Progress, and Al Franken's lead attorney on the Celebrity Hotline. Next, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Moore, to me, Stephanie Miller. Mama will be on the Ed Show on MSNBC on Thursday.
Tomorrow.
No, Thursday.
Oh, Thursday?
Yes.
It's been moved.
I've been bumped to Thursday.
Who bumped you?
The Ed Show.
What did you get bumped for?
Nothing. I didn't do anything wrong. I haven't even been on yet.
Did they get someone bigger?
Probably. And who isn't?
Well.
All right. Speaking of big, we have Jennifer Palmieri coming up, Senior VP at Center for American Progress.
That's right.
To talk about all things in the news. And also lead Franken attorney Mark Elias this hour on mm-hmm. Celebrity Hotline to tell us when will it end?
Yes. And you know, who is just booked for tomorrow's show?
Hmm.
Dan Choi, the soldier who's fighting to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh.
Just booked.
Howdy.
Him, so.
Check me out.
That's right.
Did we bump someone? No, I'm just kidding. The president talking about the situation in Iran this week.
I'm very concerned, based on some of the tenor of, and tone of the statements that have been made, that the government of Iran recognize that the world is watching.
And Sean Hannity doing his normal fear-mongering on the health care reform.
You know, if nationalized health care, though, passes, I think that's it for the economy. I think America then,
yeah.
I don't know how we ever get out of the debt.
Yeah.
How about making you pay your taxes?
Yes.
That would help.
There's for one. Okay. If only there was someone in the thick of all the big issues today that we could... Ha! Who is it, Jim?
Well, like you just said, it's Senior VP for Communications at the Center for American Progress, Jennifer Palmieri.
Hi. Hello, Jennifer. Good morning. Hello.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
Oh,
there she is. Hi, Jen.
I had muted myself, so I didn't make any...
Oh, if only there were a mute button on Sean Hannity. Well, so, Jennifer, what is your take on the latest coming out of Iran?
Well, it's it is of great concern, and there's been more deaths, which is tragic and scary. And I think it's a delicate balancing act that the administration is performing here. And I think they, it seems that they have the tenor on this right. But
well, Jennifer, it seems like the right wing misses the mindless bluster and fear and saber rattling of the Bush administration.
I mean, I keep waiting for the conservatives to realize how much the universe has changed, and it's, it cross-cuts everything. It's on foreign policy, reaction to Iran, because, clearly the United States insisting that something should be a particular way in another country, will in fact result in that happening. Sean Hannity's talking about nationalized healthcare system, debating a plan that doesn't exist on our side. It's just, they just don't. I guess it's a nuisance for us to deal with, but hopefully it won't stop us from achieving things. But it mm-hmm. is remarkable how much they continue to live mm-hmm. in this. Why do they think that works at any level?
Well,
politically, I don't get it.
And here's the thing. I don't agree with Pat Buchanan on much, but when he says the president is handling the Iran situation exactly right,
right,
as you'll recall, Pat Buchanan was also right about Iraq.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I don't know that we always want to use him as a bellwether.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
But I'm just saying the right wing might want to say, Pat was actually the only one that was right on our side about Iraq, and now,
reality check, when Pat is on our side and when George Will, for example,
right,
says that the conservatives are being foolish, that they might want to reconsider.
Right. Well, you know, I had this debate with my sister this weekend, Jen. You know, she used to be Republican like everybody in my family, and now she's, you know, she was a big Obama mama. But she was saying sometimes it's hard to
bring them around.
Oh, you do? You have the split? Well, you know, what's hard, we were saying, is to debate, is that people, I can understand, you know, debating on the issues or think he's not doing some things exactly right, and I even think that on some issues. But the fact that they seem to have to find something wrong with everything he does, but not just that, it's like his motives. Like he's had some socialist plot since he was five to own a car company. And to, you know, I mean, how can you start from that premise that the president doesn't have the country's best interests at heart?
Well, it doesn't seem to be working, does it? And but it's remarkable to me that, you know, there's just poll after poll shows them going, you know, falling further and further in the public's estimation, to the point that on health care, the American people trust health insurers to do more to reform health care than Republicans.
Yeah, that's a pretty sad state of affairs for the Republican Party.
And, you know, and I'm sure, as you've noted, 72% of the American people support having a public option for insurance, for health care insurance. And they continue to think, but somehow they think that the 28% that don't support that's the way to win the healthcare argument.
Mm-hmm. You know, I do find Sean Hannity so helpful in the debate, don't you? Like, how do you respond to this plan, for instance?
Why don't all your liberal friends, why don't you guys, like, adopt a person that needs healthcare? Why do you insist that you... In other words, if you find somebody in a family in America that needs healthcare, why can't every liberal... Why are liberals only generous with other people's money? In other words, the taxpayer dollars. Why don't liberals go out and start a program to adopt families that need health care? Why don't you guys do that?
What a moron. My God.
Jim, would you like to rephrase that in a more diplomatic way?
No.
Jim has. But how do you respond to this? These are serious times, Jennifer.
We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve them.
Yeah, as plausible as the liberals adopt a family that needs health care plan is... What? How do you respond to their side? When, like you say, they're also criticizing things that aren't even being proposed on our side.
I think that you have to... I actually... I don't know. I don't always agree with Robert Reich, but I thought that he was extraordinarily effective on Stephanopoulos' show this weekend in responding to these kinds of criticisms. And I think that you have to... It's the point where you do have to say... You are arguing about a plan that does not exist, you know.
Right.
But that is not that. If you're worried about Canadian healthcare, then you should go to Canada and help them fix that, because that's not what we're talking about here.
It's like, because, you know, you go on these shows like I do, and it's like the right winger's like, the tooth fairy sucks, and you're like, your side is for the tooth fairy. Seriously, I always wonder if it's me. Because the example we always use is I was on with that guy from the Catholic League, and we were debating something Madonna had done that was offensive. And he said, well, Stephanie, if she jumped out of an oven and made fun of the Holocaust, you'd defend that, wouldn't you? And I'm like, well, but she didn't. What? No.
The thing is that, you know, a lot of professional communicators will say, don't ever acknowledge their attack. You can't do that. You just have to ignore it. And I just don't think that. I think in this case, you have to say, that's not what this plan does.
Right.
Nobody's talking about that. And then talk about plan does, what we do want to do.
Chris, who was the congressman we had on that we love that was, Joe Sestak.
Yes.
Was on with Sean Hannity, and it was something that he was saying was in the I don't even know what bill it was. And he, thank God bless him, he just kept saying, no, Sean, no, it's not in there. No, no, it's not. No, it is not. it's like a 5-year-old.
It was money for Acorn. Did he, is that
something like that. No, Sean, that is not in there. No, it is not. No. Yeah. I mean, what can you say? You have to start with, you know, there's only, like we always say, one set of facts, right? And then we argue, you know, obviously there are good, you know, fair-minded people on both sides have difference of opinion how to fix health care, right?
And it, they do. But I mean, allegedly, although I haven't seen a lot of good ideas, you know, I haven't actually seen a lot of good ideas coming from the people who are opposing.
All right. Well, I was being too generous.
I think that you might see that. You haven't.
Well, here's a, you know, recently, though, Jen, I mean, we're getting disgusted with the Democrats as well. I don't know about you, but I mean, it seems to me now we're saying, oh, we don't know if we have the votes for this. And like you say, how much higher a percentage of the American people could say we want a public option?
Yeah, the Senate can be behind the curve sometimes, is my experience.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, there was, it's been literally 12 years since Congress has had a serious policy debate, you know, other than during the Bush years we had, in terms of domestic policy, in the Bush years we had Medicare, prescription drug benefit, fine, that was like a relatively, you know, a comprehensive debate, but really it's been since 97 in the Balanced Budget Act, and then it's been 15 years since the Democrats were in charge, right? So the press aren't used to covering these big battles. Democrats haven't, you know, been in the and I think that that at the beginning of the debate it looks really hard and everybody panics.
Right.
And then Monday comes, and, you know, the Senate committees continue to mark up, and the House committees continue to have their hearings, and the process continues, and polls come back and show, oh, actually, everybody does believe this, does support this, and everybody calms down, and we proceed. And I think that in the end, the Senate will probably end up being stronger than it looked they would be
last week. I hope they're looking at these polls, and I know a lot of
that are behind the curve in terms of the universe having changed.
That's, I know. I mean, Jennifer, I know a lot of our listeners are calling, you know, their congressmen and senators, and it just, because like I say, but the public is so far out ahead of, you know, the legislators at this point, you know, because you've already got, I mean, this Sunday we had, you know, Republicans saying, oh, we better dial down our expectations, and Democrats saying, oh, I don't know if, you know, I know there's concern among the Democrats, and it just...
It's complicated, and it's expensive, and it's hard to figure out, and there's going to be many days where it looks like the whole thing has blown up and is not going to happen, but that's what happens with these really complicated legislative battles, and I think by the time we get to the fall, we'll have a good bill.
But you remain a hope monger then.
Well, you know, as I am a hope monger, as former Senate Majority Leader, Democrat Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell always used to say, the only people who believe Republican talking points are Democratic senators.
So all right.
Jennifer, you have to work extra hard there.
All right. Jennifer Palmieri of the Center for American Progress, thanks so much as always for taking time for us.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right. There she goes. Jennifer Palmieri. Thank goodness Hillary Clinton has one of those fancy public plans. As you know, she broke her elbow.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
She, this is, I know that she was running hard for the White House, but she literally was going to the White House and broke her elbow.
Oh, that sounds like a bad break.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like she needs some calcium.
Well, she is of a certain age. Maybe she needs that Sally Field medicine.
The president had a little humor about the, she had
her... she could fly. Sally Field was a flying
President
nun,
Obama
yes.
said her fall this week might have been caused by rival Richard Holbrook, long suspected of coveting the secretary title by slicking the floor with WD-40. Obama said his first reaction to the news that Clinton's fractured elbow would require surgery was to brace for yet another fiscal crisis. He said, fortunately, the lawyers tell me Hillary's ready to settle. Oh, the president with some jokes about Secretary Clinton's broken elbow. You know, I think that means it's time for another of our favorite series, you know, about Obama and Clinton that started during the primaries.
Oh, yeah.
Pantsuit and jug ears.
Or the other way around.
Or
I can never remember
which
way it goes.
We can't remember which way it goes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and Sean Hannity and Ann Coulter, too. The producers of Beck, the One Note Musical, and the makers of Boner Bronze, the tanning solution that will bring you to tears, are pleased to present the latest installment of Pantsuit and Jug Ears. Tonight's episode, Take That Week Somewhere Else, Sucker. Hillary. I'm so sorry you broke your elbow. But it always makes me sad when a friendly pickup game goes sour and someone gets hurt. But you have to admit, you asked for it. You see, it's my court, and I'll drive the lane if I want to. That's just the way it is, and you better get used to it.
Don't hand me that crap, Barack. I told you when you offered me this job that down in the paint is mine. You can drain them from downtown all day long, but you try to get close to the bucket and you'll feel the wrath of me. Just keep a lid on all the North Korea and Iran remarks, right? Maybe I broke my elbow throwing it at your head. My God, is that made of concrete? But I noticed that goose egg rising up from your noggin and you walked away a little cross-eyed. Just dig this, hot shot elbows are not my only skill down low. Submarining, hip-checking, hacking, you name it, I'll do it. You feel me?
Bring it on, biatch. I'll knock you on your can, on your can, on your can.
Suit up, chump. Down to the paint is where men are made, and women, too.
Will Barack dominate? Will Hillary tear him a new ACL? Tune in next week for the next installment of Pantsuit and Jug Ear.
Yay. It's my favorite. The kids love it. That's all for the Pantsuit and the Jug Ears. Down the paint. She
not
owns
the
paint. Not down the paint. 20 minutes after the hour. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more on the healthcare debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'll say this about Stephanie's show. She's as harmless as a kitten.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Great lyrics. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I don't think they were going for poetry there. I think they were just going for a mood and a beat.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Drew in New Jersey on healthcare. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Steph. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
The only thing that concerns me about government healthcare, and I'm all for public option or even universal coverage, is that guys like Grover Norquist and Paul Weyrich hate government so much that they to make it so unusable that their words come true, that their talking points come true, that government cannot possibly work because they put the most incompetent people in charge of these things.
Right, well, that's it. Hello, George Bush and FEMA. Thank you very much. Yes,
exactly.
FEMA seems to work just fine under Bill Clinton.
I'm getting some emails from people defending Scott on the whole around thing. Caller from
Scott, who called and said that this was all basically green screened, the violence and gender support for an invasion of Iran.
We were trying to foment unrest in Iran, sending in, well, essentially terrorists to undermine the government, and we have no way of knowing whether that's still going on or not.
The CIA does that all the time.
We should have Scott Ritter talk about it sometime. Wow. See what he thinks is going on.
Love me some Scott Ritter. Okay.
We do that all the time. The CIA does that all the time. It's called spying.
Well, it's beyond spying. We were sending people in to actively cause. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why that's a surprise.
All right. A Republican senator seeking a bipartisan health deal Sunday spoke of dialing down expectations on health care again. And one of Barack Obama's Democratic allies questioned whether the White House had the votes necessary. Jennifer, you heard Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress. She is still hope-mongering on health care, but we're all getting a little bit bitter and cynical about what's going to happen. I will try to stay hopeful,
It's not going to happen. Sorry.
Lord. Because the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimated the plan would cost $1 trillion over 10 years. Democrats protested the estimate overlooked important money savers to be added later. Dianne Feinstein said she wasn't certain there were enough votes in the president's own party to support the proposal. She said there's a lot of concern in the Democratic caucus. Meanwhile, a poll came out showing 76% of the American public want a public option.
So why isn't Congress giving us what we want?
Because Congress is
in the
by
pocket
the
of the insurance companies. Freaking lobbyists.
Robert Gibbs urging patience.
This is going to be a long process. Again, it's not going to be solved in a matter of weeks.
Or months or years or decades.
Senator John McCain on the.
And I suggest we not move forward until we have some provision as to how we're going to pay for it.
A CBS New York Times poll as well. Almost two-thirds say the government should guarantee health insurance for all Americans. But that's not important now, what you want. 28 minutes after the hour, things that may last longer than our lifetime, the Al Franken Norm Coleman case. We will talk to Al Franken's lead attorney next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm not drunk, all right? I just have a speech impediment. And a stomach virus.
Oh, God. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We had heard rumors that our long national nightmare, you know, the one from Minnesota, might be over on Friday. But there was no word.
Such luck?
Yes, if only there was someone in the midst of that that might know something about something about somebody. Why, Jim, who is it?
Oh, that would be lead Franken attorney Mark Elias.
He's our buddy. He's our pal. Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Obviously, there were rumors going around. We were going to have a ruling. We might have a senator from Minnesota. What's the latest?
Well, they were just that. They were rumors. The lawyers, I can tell everyone, don't learn anything more than anyone else does. So whoever was guessing it was Thursday or Friday was doing that. They were just guessing. So it could be today. Could be tomorrow. I suspect it'll be this week or next at the latest.
While we're still young, really.
Yes, but I'm guessing. Yes, you know, I don't know any more than you or your audience.
And what are you, I mean, how are you feeling and what, you know, about what you're going to hear?
Look, we remain cautiously optimistic. We have, at every phase in this process, we have gained votes and we have prevailed before the courts.
Listen, I think the more Norm keeps suing, he's going to win a landslide of Ahmadinejad proportions, Al Franken is.
Well, you know, and we felt good about how the court argument went. You can't read too much into the question one way or the other, but I think most of the neutral observers thought that the court's demeanor and questioning indicated that we're in pretty good shape.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, you've won every legal ruling up until now. What are you hearing, though, if that is the case, that the decision goes in your favor? What is Governor Pawlenty going to do? What are the Republicans going to do?
Well, look, I think at that point, we're really at the end. You know, the state Supreme Court indicated in a prior case that that the certificate of election has to issue once the end of the state court process. This is obviously the end of the state court process, this being the highest court in the state. So we would expect that if we had a favorable ruling at that point, Governor Pawlenty would sign the certificate and Secretary of State Mark Ritchie would countersign it and Al Franken would be seated.
Mm. However, you know, we've all heard the, Republicans in the Senate say, no way. They're going to support this all the way to the Supreme Court. We've heard that Pawlenty wants to run for president. He doesn't want to anger his base.
Well, I just don't think that there's that much left. This has already been stretched out. I think we're now in our fourth season, I read this morning. So this has already been stretched out for a very long time. And I think that, that the Republicans in the Senate will abide by a signed election certificate, which is which I expect we'll get, and then Al Franken will be seated.
There certainly are a billion reasons we need two senators from Minnesota, you know, and the health care, not the least of which. We've got a lot of important debates coming up.
That's exactly right. And let me add one other reason, which is that the people of Minnesota held an election, and it was a close election, but it was a fair election, and Al Franken received more lawful votes. So Al Franken, in addition to all of the problems facing the country and the need for 100 senators, I would add the fact that Al Franken won this election fair and square and entitled to be seated.
Let's add another reason, and that is that Amy Klobuchar is having a nervous breakdown. Someone must help.
Senator Klobuchar is doing a great job representing the state of Minnesota, and I know she's obviously overwhelmed with constituent casework and the like. But she's done a great job. She's doing a great job.
She really is.
But again, you know, the fact is we have elections, and the people who win those elections have a right to serve, and the people have a right to have those people serve, and that's I think where we are in this process.
Well, and I mean, do you think does that have no effect on Norm Coleman? All these polls that have been done in Minnesota saying that people want him to concede that this thing is over. It has been long over.
I think it may be fair to say that I am about as far as an expert in what Senator Coleman's thinking is. So you'd have to ask him what has effect on him. I'm not sure I would know.
So the latest ruling, Norm Coleman can use campaign donations to pay for some but not all of the legal fees he's amassing as a result of two lawsuits and an FBI investigation targeting one of his donors. The FEC lawyers just reached that conclusion, right? Because he's been ordered to pay Al Franken's bills, correct?
Right. Well, a couple of things. First of all, the FEC itself has not ruled. There are two different alternatives before them. They'll decide on Thursday. What people are reacting to right now are the staff recommendations. Second, I think it's very important for everyone to be clear, and for the FEC to make clear that the fact is that this does not allow him to use recount money. This is not money that was raised for the recount. Could only be spent on the recount and can't be spent on anything else. And you are correct, Norm Coleman and that team owe money to Al Franken for the court costs.
Well, because I don't imagine you come cheap, Mark, being a fancy lawyer like you are.
I wouldn't say fancy, but obviously this has been going on for a while.
Yeah, so a lot of hours have been racked up.
Now, are you billing Al Franken right now as we speak for your time?
I'm not. You
okay.
Know, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you all. This one's on the house.
Thank you. Oh, Mark, you're a gentleman and a scholar. You basically have no idea. You'll check back in with us and let us know. But, I mean, like you say, this can't possibly go on that much longer, can it?
I don't think it can. And I said to you last time, as long as you're willing to have me, I'll be on. So.
Well, Mark, if you were a betting man, though, I mean, if in fact he loses, which, like we say, all legal experts seem to think Norm Coleman is going to lose in this case, is he going to go to the Supreme Court?
I don't think he will. I think if he sought review by the U.S. Supreme Court, I don't think they would take the case. They have not historically taken election cases, obviously Bush versus Gore being a notable exception, but I don't think there was anything about that experience that left the Supreme Court wanting more. So I don't think it will much matter. I think that the certificate of election issues at the end of the state court process, and that end will come when we get a ruling from the justices of the state Supreme Court.
All right. Mark Elias, for the country, I hope this ends soon. For your pocketbook, I can't speak to that.
No,
but
I hope it ends soon, too.
All right. Mark, thanks, as always, for taking time for us.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes. Mark Elias, Al Franken's lead attorney. Who the hell knows? He doesn't even know when we're going to get a ruling, but
well,
he thinks soon.
This week, he says.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Lawrence in Memphis on the president. Hello, Lawrence.
Oh, it sure takes a long time to order a hamburger for the president. And I'm saying this to say this. It's not the president. He's afraid. The Democrats are afraid, and I'm sick of it. You go into a hamburger shop to order a hamburger, Obama says, give me a... Wait a minute, should I say hamburger? They're going to associate me with Hitler. Okay, I want to order Swiss cheese. Oh,
huh?
Now I'm a socialist because
what?
I didn't order American cheese.
You...
I said that to say this. You guys, you Americans, you Democrats, forgotten the basic philosophy of being a Democrat, and that is we subscribe to philosophies. We subscribe to ideology. We're not afraid to have somebody to be gay as long as they can bring something to the table. We're not afraid for you to increase our tax cut, increase our taxes if it's going to help America.
All right, Lawrence. Thank you for that.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
That was
bizarre. Jim, I think you've learned the lesson here, and that is that we're fine if you're gay as long as you bring the Swiss cheese
right.
for the hamburger.
Yes.
What?
Or something like that.
LOL. WTF.
Yeah,
okay.
GTK.
David in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie. I think if you could start talking about the 2010 elections, you just really throw back in the Republican phony conservative spaces because they think they're under some delusion that they're going to reclaim the majority in 2010, and that's not going to happen. The Democrats and the progressives will pad their already fattened majority since 2008. Don't you think?
I can't even think that far ahead right now. I just want some friggin' health care. You know what I mean? Like, this is one of the cornerstone issues that Obama was voted in on when you think about the polls now. 76% of the Americans want a public plan. The president campaigned on a public plan.
Mm-hmm.
And now the right is arguing with about plans that it's not even the plan. Like, that there's going to be rationing. Like what the insurance companies do to you now is not rationing your health care.
Exactly.
All right, 42 minutes after the hour, back with more on the health care debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello?
Hi.
Stephanie Miller.
I went to see the doctor today.
Uh-oh.
See, because we're talking about health care, so ha!
Did the test come back okay?
Everything's fine. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Or do you have
chlamydia?
No, everything's fine. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Paul in Orange County on Senator Al Franken. Hello, Paul.
Hey, I had a quick question. When I wondered if the Republicans are just trying to stall this thing out. Does Al Franken's term start when he's sworn in, and does he get his full term, or is he going to get penalized the 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 months that they're trying to string this thing out? Did anybody there know that?
I don't know. You know what? I think we should just give him another term since he's starting so late. Anything that will make Bill O'Reilly's head explode.
I am proud to stand before you as the next senator from Minnesota.
Thing sucks.
To answer his question, he only, you know, gets as long as...
Well, that's just not fair.
Well, I know it's not fair, but...
Should get the second term added on automatically.
Well, that's
what I'm
that's
saying.
That's not the way the American electoral system works, people.
Here's what I'm saying.
Sorry.
Jeff in Orange County.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk to everybody out there and remind them that it's not a really diplomatic thing that George Bush hasn't been out in front of the media until Dick Cheney lost all credibility. It's that he hasn't been out there, not doing Obama a favor, but not reminding everybody he's the one who got us here. If he was out in front of everybody, we'd all remember, oh yeah, he's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy that left the deficit. Oh,
I'd also like to ask everybody how much they think the taxpayers paid for George Bush Senior skydiving exhibition with the Golden Knights of the Army. Had to have that whole team brought out there at taxpayer expense.
Yeah, and how many trips to that friggin' ranch did we pay for to clear brush? So the president goes on one date with his wife and the right wing goes and insane. All right. The health care debate, of course, heating up. The president will be having his town hall on ABC on Wednesday. Don't you love this? RNC Chairman Michael Steele is trying to raise money to offset ABC News' upcoming... He said ABC News has actually turned its entire programming over to President Obama and his big government agenda. Oh, dear God. Okay. They are having a news special in which there's going to be a lot of people challenging the president on his plan and asking questions and things like that. Let's see. Soon after ABC News announced the town hall, special RNC officials asked to be part of the panel posing questions. They wanted a bunch of RNC tools to be on the panel. And after being told no,
computer says no.
Claimed it would be nothing more than a glorified infomercial. And
ABC, they're crying.
Yes, an ABC News spoke. That's what they do best now is whine.
That's right.
An ABC News spokesman said, "I think it's sad that we're trying to produce a fair and even-handed debate about an important issue, and unfortunately, some see that as a fundraising opportunity. Our intentions have been very clear from the start to have a room full of people with divergent views putting tough questions to the president. And it seems no matter how many times we say that, some people just can't hear it." Talking to you, Michael Steele.
Yeah. They didn't feel like having someone spew talking points at them. They wanted real questions from real people.
Yes, because these are serious times, and we need
Maybe
serious
Michael
people.
Michael Steele couldn't hear it because his
We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve them.
I think you always get that quote wrong.
Probably.
Yeah.
Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma. This is the one of the straw man arguments that, see, this would, if we do the president's plan, it would be rationing health care.
Yeah.
Unlike the way it is now, which is magical, as you know, whatever you ask your insurance company for, Jim, they say, why, yes.
Of course.
Of course that's covered.
If you can prove that you're not a human who will eventually get sick and die.
But there's a big difference between wanting to save money and rationing care. And that's what we're talking about.
No.
Rationing care.
No. No, we're not. No, we're not.
That's what you're talking about.
That's what HMOs and insurance companies do now.
Yeah, exactly.
Senator Chris Dodd, Democrat of Connecticut, on the health care debate.
No one's arguing for rationing. No one's suggesting that there ought to be mandates that you have to follow.
Insurance companies make their money by denying people coverage. That's what they do.
It's called rationing, essentially. Yeah. Kim in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kim.
Hi, kids. Listen, I want to say a personal experience I had about health care. I was going to talk about something else, but I need to get on the health care thing.
All right.
I was 26 years old and having a lot of pain with my period, with my monthly period.
Oh.
And so, you know, I kept going.
All right, the boys just left the room, but go ahead. We'll keep talking.
That's all right. They can do that. Just women, listen up. It got worse every month. I had a lot of doctors pat me on top of the head and ask me whether my marriage was happy.
Oh, listen, sister, I am with you.
I can't
choke down enough Advil on that day.
You know what? But the whole thing is why don't you go talk to a therapist? And I said, fine.
Oh, boy.
I just want to get rid of this pain. Well, guess what happened?
What?
2 years of going to therapists and being kind of pushed from one department to the other, I finally had an operation called a laparoscopy.
Mm.
Because the only way you can tell whether you have this endometriosis is to go inside and look. They found it. I ended up being 28 years old, no ovaries, no uterus. I was barren, Steph.
Wow.
I could not. We had no kids. In the long run, we adopted, and it was wonderful. But real consequences happen to real people. And it was because the doctor was gagged at that time. It was a thing where they couldn't tell you, by the way, you need an operation called laparoscopy. We don't offer it, but you can go here where they do.
Mm.
These medical laws and decisions and trivia affect real people's lives.
Yep.
We have to insist. Let's call Dianne Feinstein, who said she didn't think we had the votes. You damn well get the votes.
Yeah, you damn well get them.
Fine, right?
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kim.
Power to the people.
All right. She still gets cranky. The pain is gone, but she that's what, you know, here's the thing most annoying to women is, like, those commercials for those products. Because the woman's always like, oh, cramps. Like, it's not like that when you have... Trust Kim and I. It's not...
Really? Well, pretty soon you won't be dealing with
Shut
that anymore.
Up. Jim in West Virginia on healthcare. Hi, Jim.
Radio goddess, I have your solution.
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, first thing is part of the healthcare reform. They just prohibit healthcare companies from denying coverage based on pre-existing conditions. Second thing, you open Medicare up to everyone. You can already buy it if you're 55 and over now. Of course, you may have to pay for it. So you put the FICA donut in there so people above $300,000 continue paying the FICA.
Mm-hmm.
You let the Bush tax cuts expire, and you put a 1% national health care sales tax out there. Everything is paid for. Everybody's covered. Everybody's happy.
Why is it anybody that has an opposable thumb that can call my show has a better health care plan than the Democrats in Congress?
Pay taxes for services? That's communism. I might have to give up one of my airplanes.
All right. Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer Show.
Ripper.
Any deal will have to exclude a public option, because if it stays in the plan, it will not pass the Congress.
They.
Well, then it's not health care reform.
Yeah, then they need to take the word reform out of it.
Yeah.
Hello, Bill in Detroit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I happen to be in favor of Sean Hannity's health care proposal that liberals would adopt a family.
Without health care.
And pay for it. I would ask that Sean Hannity and others who think that way would adopt a soldier on his third tour in Afghanistan and replace him.
Mm. Good idea.
There you go.
Mm.
Boy, howdy. Could I have my porn music, please? I thought we should do an update. You know, I hate to report these things,
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Type-related situations. But there's some more details on the Senator John Ensign unpleasantness.
Yeah. By the way, I just read this morning that his poll numbers are dropping.
Wow.
Like a
rock.
Yes.
There's a lot of poll jokes in there. But I'll just let that lay there. Because see, if it hadn't gone up, if his poll hadn't gone up originally, then it wouldn't be going down.
Going down. Yeah.
He revealed he had an extramarital affair just days after the husband of his mistress, as it turns out, attempted to take the story to the Fox News.
Oops. Oh, dear.
Doug Hampton wrote to Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly. Why would you pick her? But I
have no idea.
I don't know. Requesting that.
He wanted to do her.
Is that one of the Fox and Freaks, or is that a different...
No, it's a different one. She's frequently on O'Reilly. But actually, you know what? As far as Fox Bimbos go, she's not that bad.
Oh, wasn't that nice of you?
Mm-hmm.
Requesting she investigate charges the senator's behavior made him unfit to serve in Republican leadership. Hampton had previously confronted Ensign about the affair in front of one of his housemates, Republican Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, according to the story.
Maybe Ensign will have to be busted down to semen. First class.
Senator Ensign's
I think that's already happened.
And relentless pursuit of... Listen, that was the problem, was the semen in the first place.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. His conduct and relentless pursuit of my wife led to our dismissal in April of 2008. I'd like to say he stopped his heinous conduct and pursuit upon our leaving, but that was not the case, and his actions did not subside till August of 2008. Hampton said that Ensign's actions ruined our lives and careers, left my family in a shambles. We lost significant income, suffered indescribable pain, emotional suffering. He said he had hired lawyers to obtain restitution from Ensign.
So what promises did he keep exactly, this Ensign guy? Oh, yeah, he didn't ride in a car with a girl.
Mm-hmm. There's that. All right. Lieutenant Dan Choi is coming on the big show tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Excited about that.
Yes. He's fighting against Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yes, he was discharged.
Yes.
Just before he was supposed to get all of his benefits.
Well, good thing he didn't have any skills that would be at all useful in an Arabic-speaking country.
57 minutes after the hour. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.